All right, first things first, you know, as far as we know, we're a long ways this morning from the Toronto Blue Jays being sold by our parent company, Rogers Communications. But, well, safe to say that Rogers CFO Tony Staffieri certainly got folks talking after yesterday's comments at a UBS Global Media and Communications Conference in New York City that Rogers is considering selling assets such as the Blue Jays and its stake in Cogeco to free up capital to increase investments in wireless. And I'm joined by my co-host, Stephen Brunt. Look, we know, Stephen, that this company's focus is wireless. That's its business. We also know that business has been pretty good lately. If you look at the stock share prices, it's been very good. And we also know that in order to stay ahead of the game in that particular industry, you need to invest a lot of money. I mean, you just have to. You have to be at the cutting edge. You can't afford to stand still. So all that said, you know, from a purely business point of view, you can kind of see where this team, this communications group, where this company might at least be listening.
Yeah,
or be willing to listen to offers for the baseball team. Long ways from having that jump towards the team being sold, though.
Well, like one of the things with the public companies is a lot of transparency, right? Because there has to be. So you understand a lot of things about the business of Rogers. If you're interested, you know that they're they have to be transparent for their shareholders. So yeah, they're capital investment in wireless. There's some debt to be paid down that might make sense to pay down some debt. And you know you kind of look at the structure of the business, and sports and media don't necessarily are different. And then this company has evolved. It is evolved. It's not like somebody came down from on high and said, well, we're going to have wireless and cable, and then we're going to buy a baseball team and a stadium, and then we're going to buy some media assets, and we're going to have a sports media thing that kind of it's an odd mix of stuff, right? And yes. and a lot of that speaks to back in the day when Ted was the owner, Ted Rogers, and the Jays were purchased because no one else wanted them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard for people to imagine right now, but no one else wanted them. It was a brand extension for sure, but it was mostly a guy who's from here and thought they should stay here. The stadium they did get a great bargain on it, but no one wanted it either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how this became a sports company.
Right.
And then they ended up acquiring Sportsnet. So it's an odd mix, and I think from a kind of a Bay Street perspective, people have always looked at it and said it doesn't totally make sense. You know, you guys are in the wireless business. Why do you have this other stuff? So the speculation, there's long been speculation that, you know, at some point they might split off and sell either the Blue Jays or the media division or the sports media division or whatever. So that's been out there on Bay Street for a long time. Obviously, it's got a lot more momentum today given what was said yesterday, but you know, the one thing people, you know, if you know even a little bit about this arrangement and all of those relationships within the company, this would be a very messy, complicated divorce.
Yes.
It's very difficult to unpick this for a bunch of reasons. Because you have a team, you have a real estate asset, which is the Rogers Center, and you have media and media rights. And if you look at what Tony Staffieri is quoted as saying yesterday, they seem very happy, for instance, to retain media rights to sports. They seem quite pleased with the NHL deal, and they talked about wanting to retain the media rights for the Blue Jays in this theoretical scenario where they would have sold. Well, that's an interesting idea, but if someone's going to buy this team, let's say if you're going to buy it straight up, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the Blue Jays. Well, that means you also have to buy the Sky Dome,
right?
Or the Rogers Center, for it to make any sense. Rogers Center has a great location. In the middle of the city, but you don't actually get any land with it. You barely own the land that it's sitting on. So there's no real estate play there.
Right.
And it's going to require
$500 million.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah.
Right?
$500 million. It's going to require $500 million in upkeep in the next decade.
Yeah. So you're not going to build another stadium. That's the stadium you're going to get, but you're going to have to put money into it almost as though you were mm-hmm. building another stadium. And there's not you can't build a shopping mall around it or something or condos because you don't own that land. So there's no great real estate play. You would want to sell things like the naming rights, which mm-hmm. have never been sold. Baseball you know, is going to look very closely at stuff like fair market value right. for things like media rights. So, you know, right now the left hand pays the right hand for media rights, right? Rogers pays Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
In any other scenario, you know, if Rogers sold the team but then wanted to retain the media rights, they would have to pay something that baseball agreed was fair market value for those rights separately. Like that, it would not be kind of an in-house deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that number – and if you kind of gave someone – you know, as part of a sale, if you granted someone exclusivity, I'm not sure how you even determine what fair market value right. is because, you know, that would be determined by competition. So it's I just don't see, Jeff, a simple way. It's not like some, you know, billionaire intent on winning a World Series is going to buy your team and start spending $230 million on payroll and not care about the bottom line. It's just this is a web of yes. relationships that you would have to unpick.
And let's cut to the crux of the issue too. It cost $1 billion U.S. to buy the team.
Yeah, so it's not a great equity play.
No, it's gonna because the value of baseball franchises depends in large measure on the value of the most recent franchise sold. Baseball's not going to cut anybody a break. You want to buy the Blue Jays, it's probably going to cost you. Well, and I mean, this isn't a state secret. Beeston said this 2 years ago that he could see $900 million starting price to buy the Blue Jays. So let's say that somehow you get the Jays in the Rogers Center for $1.1 billion, at which point you throw in $500 million too. I mean, by the end of the day, you're looking at about a $1.5 billion, $1.75 billion play
mm-hmm.
for this team.
Well,
and a couple of other things, a couple of other things to keep in mind, because I know, you know, there are people out there saying, well, there's lots of Canadian companies with money. In case you haven't noticed lately, sports leagues have not been allowing teams to be sold to publicly traded companies. As a matter of fact, there are no NFL teams owned by publicly traded companies. The Rangers, the Leafs, and the Canadiens are the only NHL teams owned by publicly traded companies. The NBA has two teams, the Knicks and the Toronto Raptors. Raptors, of course, owned by Rogers and BCE. And baseball has two, the Blue Jays and the Atlanta Braves, who are owned by Liberty Media. I mean, yeah, let's be honest. If somebody was going to buy the Blue Jays, Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office, would prefer it would be somebody like Edward Rogers. They'd want one owner who didn't necessarily have to make his financials public in an annual report or a quarterly report.
Well, you don't want someone beholden to quarterly, you know, quarterly reporting, right? You would like somebody to be able to. It's way better to operate as a sports franchise in any sense, with a kind of a longer term vision rather than having to satisfy shareholders quarterly, which is just, you know. And again, that's what Rogers has to do. Yeah. That's what any publicly traded company has to do. So it's an awkward mix.
Yeah. So the idea that somebody like a bank would come in and buy, it's not happening.
No, it's not happening. No, they could come in as a minority partner, but it's not going to happen. And the other thing is, Jeff, again, you know, there's kind of the kind of idealized world of the Jays' original ownership, which was, you know, Labatt, Canadian owned brewery in those days. Howard Webster and the CIBC as a minority partner. The beauty of what happened there was that they bought the team for, what, $7 million
mm-hmm.
and wound up having a stadium built for them with public money. Their franchise equity went through the roof. Now, it was a great brand extender for the brewery, and that's originally why they got into it. But, you know, where they made their dough was not on a year-to-year operating basis. It was on what the value of the team was. So if your equity's going up, it's like buying a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
The equity went up and up and up and up, and so they had this asset that they paid not much for, and you know that's why the Jays in '92 and '93 had the highest payroll in baseball because they could do it because the owners were, you know, they had won, they had already won on the financial side, so all they had to do was win on the baseball side. If you buy this team, you're buying high right now.
Yep.
Maybe it would be, you know, will it be worth more 10 years from now than it's worth now? Probably, but it's not. You know, you're not buying this at a bargain basement price. You're not buying the stadium. You might get the stadium for a dollar, but you're going to have to put $500 million into the stadium. So that's not a great deal. It's entirely possible that even a private owner buying this team would do what the guys in Miami are doing, which is, you know, the guys sure. who bought from evil Jeffrey Loria. What are they trying to do?
They're trying to be more evil. Or
trying to balance the books, right? Because they, you know, they made an investment and they're saying, okay, hang on a second. We're going to make this thing make sense financially. So they're kind of burning the furniture right now. Now, you know, eventually the idea is that it'll be competitive.
Right.
It'll turn around. The revenue will flow through, and then you'll put the revenue back into the team, and or you can sustain a winner.
We should also mention, by the way, that they are also already soliciting other partners.
Yeah.
They're going out to try to add other partners.
So it's, again, it is, you know, I know there's kind of a wish fulfillment thing for Jays fans, and I get it. If you had the equivalent of the late Mike Ilitch running this team, it'd be a great thing for as a fan. It would be awesome. But I'm not sure those guys exist. And I think in this scenario, it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that that person kind of descends from the sky. And even if they did, the question is, what are you selling? How are you selling it?
Right.
And, you know, from a Major League Baseball point of view, you would want one of the things they would be very, you know, they would have an eagle eye on is, okay, fair value for the assets, right? Fair value for, yeah. So, you know, you can't just kind of trade off media rights to somebody as part of a sale deal and say, well, we'll give you, we're going to buy the team and you, Rogers, you're going to have the media rights, exclusive media rights to the Jays for 25 years. You'd have to put a value on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, a market value on that. And, you know, that number might preclude the sale.
Yeah.
You know, I almost think as much as we're talking about this today, we will be talking about it a lot. You know, I think in the end, you know, though it's not a perfect marriage for Rogers, I think they, in the end, they may just look at this thing and say, look, we might as well own them,
mm-hmm.
because we probably can't have it both ways.
Yeah. And just to touch on what Steven said, you know, a couple of things need to be said about the purchase of this team originally by Ted Rogers. You know, as Brunt points out, this was not viewed as a core part of the business. In point of fact, Ted said often that he'd learned a lesson from the company's purchase of Famous Players Theaters, which they brought through Canadian Cable Systems, which was kind of a step away from the core assets of this company. And it didn't go all that well. But, you know, Ted was convinced by people close to him that buying the Jays, also buying the stadium, but mostly buying the Jays, would be a way of kind of personalizing what had come to be seen as kind of a cold corporate company. The people who were taking money out of your pockets every year or every
yep.
month for your cable bill. And that's, you know, it made a certain amount of sense at that time. So there was a little bit of a blessed convergence here too, because Rogers at that time was involved in attempting to buy Videotron. And that fell apart due to, well, I'll editorialize, it fell apart due to involvement of the Quebec government, Quebec nationalists. There was no way Videotron was going to be sold to an English company. But Rogers did get a $240 million breakup fee as a result of that deal. And Ted, you know, Ted, God bless him. And this used to drive me nuts whenever people would criticize him. Ted paid cash for the team. I remember there was a story that came out that about a year and a half after the Jays had been sold, that oh, there was some financial issues, and I can remember I can remember Bud Seeley, because I got a hold of Bud Seeley about it. Bud said, Jeff, they got no debt. He said Ted paid cash, like he, you know, he cut a check to buy the Blue Jays. I think it was $112 million U.S. for 80% of the team, and then he bought the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So he just said, here, here's the money. It was like one of the easiest sales baseball had to, you know,
yep.
had to approve, because A, they had a guy with high profile, and B, he was just given the money. So you're right. In a way, this has always been kind of a, I wouldn't say a strange marriage, but it's needed massaging, right?
It's needed
massaging also, at the board level. It's needed massaging at the shareholder level.
Well, he also
level.
Bought a team that was an orphan, right? Interbrew inherited the team when they bought Labatt's. Interbrewer, the you know huge multinational brewer, the run out of Belgium.
The evil Belgian.
Yeah, they had no interest in it. It was the parsley that came with the sandwich, right? They didn't have any idea why they... Why
That's
they,
a good way to put it.
They had no idea why they had this team. And, you know, there were attempts. There were other groups kind of cobbled together, you know, which didn't really have the dough.
Right.
I remember writing a lot about that in the day. You know, there's one group that Murray Frum led,
yeah.
You know, and but there were a lot of, you know, if you kind of looked at the pieces of those ownership groups, they weren't great in any mm-hmm. way. And there was a real question about whether they had the dough, you know, whether or not there was actually ever a notion that the team could leave Toronto. You know, it never came to that. But it wasn't, you know, I think the analogy, what's analogous is the situation of the Montreal Canadiens when George Gillette bought them, right? That, you know, you say, well, this great local institution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is, unless somebody's willing to throw down.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anybody. They're not, and even now, like if this team was for sale right now, and again, I'm not sure how you unpick it. Yeah. I'm not sure what you're selling. And someone would have to explain. There'd have to be a lot of explaining about, you know, what revenue streams are still open to you, what you're selling, what real estate you're buying, et cetera, et cetera. But the number, how many candidates?
Well, Edward Rogers.
Well, there's it's a short list.
Oh,
right?
I'm not
like there's some rich people in this country, but it's a short
being
list.
Being facetious. I mean, I can tell you that's. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. I can tell you that if it were to come to pass, the commissioner's office would be doing cartwheels if it was Edward Rogers.
Yeah, like look, if there was a real estate play here, then it opens it up. You know, David Thompson bought a piece of owns a good chunk of the Winnipeg Jets. But there's also a real estate play for him in downtown Winnipeg.
Yes.
That's part of what interests him.
Yes.
You know, he loves hockey and all of that stuff. But a big reason that he got in was that he thought there was some development possibilities in downtown Winnipeg. There's nothing here, right? There's no other thing.
Yeah.
So you're just buying this. And I would love to see the list. But you're right. There may only be one guy on it.